Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. Next up, it's one of our newer shows on the network, Divinely Nourished with Rachel Pelletan. Let's bring Rachel on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Rachel, welcome back. Hello, hello. Can you hear me, Rachel? Do we have you on?
Oh, here I am. Sorry, I was muted.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Welcome back. So let's get you to reintroduce yourself and your show and what's up for today.
Yeah, so my name is Rachel Pelletan. I am an intuitive coach, and I help women co-create their dream lives and businesses through embodiment, energy healing, and self-awareness. And today I wanted to go into a bit of detail about the process of co-creation.
All right, well, sounds great. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Okay. So I view co-creation as a five-step process, and you may be more familiar with the term manifesting versus co-creating, but in my eyes, I see the creation of our lives more as a synergistic dance, if you will, with Source, God, universe, whatever vernacular you want to put on it. But essentially, co-creation is where divine will intermingles with our own personal will. And when we are in alignment with serving our soul purposes, we become extremely powerful creators. And so for me, co-creation is a more accurate word than manifestation, because sometimes I think the idea of manifestation is, you know, you kind of sit back and you close your eyes and you make lists and you dream and wish and then things magically show up. But I think it takes more than that most of the time for most people. So, and sometimes things miraculously just show up and there isn't a whole lot that you have to do. But sometimes most of the time there are aligned action steps that need to be taken. So, and that's the process of co-creation. So I'm going to take you through my five-step process for co-creation. And I have a whole download on this that's available for free on my website at rachelpelletan.com. And you'll see there's an option to download a free co-creation workbook, which is a really cool thing to do as you're listening to this, as we're walking through it, or you can certainly do it on your own time. But it's nice to have this process put into a format, and you get these cool charts and tables that go along with it. So the first step in co-creating your life or co-creating your business or co-creating whatever it is that you desire is to get clarity. And you want to get ultra clear on what you desire. And as you sort of daydream and feel into your desires, don't be shy. Dream big. Dream really, really big, so big that it might even scare you, and you have no idea how you could possibly bring that desire into reality, but just dream it. It can't hurt to dream it, right? So when your dreams come from a place of joy and service, you're your soul, your higher self, the universe is really in support of those dreams, because we came to a physical plane on Earth to experience a physical reality. And in physical reality, we need money and we need food and we need cars in modern life and we need cell phones in order to be operating at our greatest capacity and in our greatest level of service. So those things that you desire, when they are truly coming from a place of joy and service, you know, the universe conspires for you to also have those things. So really dream big here and really get clear on and write down anything that you could ever in life, little things up to big, huge things that may take, you know, years or decades to show up. So when you are getting clear about your desires, there's a few categories you can think about. So you may be focused on just one particular category right now, like calling in a divine union, a partnership. It could be expanding the amount of money in your bank account. It could be creating more physical health for yourself, healing from some physical issue or an emotional issue. It could be desires around your home or your ability to travel. It could be desires around creating a spiritual business or enhancing your intuition or feeling more connected to your higher power. Relationships are a huge area, intimate family and friends. So there's a lot of categories that you can think about as you're getting clear on your desires. And there may be others that I haven't even mentioned here. But kind of thinking about your life as a whole, what you want it to be, not just the little things, but really getting into this idea or frequency that you can create your whole life the way you want it, that you really get to be the master of your domain. You get to be a creator rather than just someone who's kind of stuck with the hand that they were dealt. So use this step one, getting clarity on what you desire, to really help you unlock your deepest desires. And just let everything flow out onto the paper and let it do a brain dump, essentially, and just let everything come out that you could desire. You may have desires that you didn't even know that you have as you start to work this process. So once you get all your desires out on paper, the next step is to get even deeper clarity about those desires. So you want to go back to this original list of desires that you've made, and I like to do this in kind of a grid, and if you download the free workbook, there's a whole table set up for you. But kind of next to each desire, gain deeper clarity about the internal feeling that you are looking for from that external experience. So let's say you're looking for a partner in life, a relationship, an intimate relationship. What is the feeling that you desire from having a person intimately connected in your life? Is it to feel joy? Is it to feel compassion? Is it to feel support, in connection? Or is your desire there to fit in? You want to get married because all your friends are getting married and you won't be happy or successful unless you get married. Is it to get your mom off your back because she's saying, when are you going to have grandkids for me? So go deeper into your desires and really look at what is the feeling that you're looking for. Because when our desires come from service, when they come from our higher self, when they come from joy, those desires will be supported by the universe. When those desires come from a place of ego, where we're trying to prove ourselves, we're trying to receive acceptance or worthiness, those desires are not going to work out very well. We may get them. We may be able to force our way into that situation. However, the desired result is probably not going to last very long, and we're also not going to get the feeling that we're really looking for with the thing. So I'll give you a personal example here. When I was about 26 or 27, I had been living with roommates for all of college and beyond, and I was single at the time, and I wanted to live alone. That was my desire, was to live alone. And my dad convinced me that I should buy property, because that's the key to wealth, is investing in property. That is the smartest thing I could do. That is going to build me financial security, right? So the area I was living in was very expensive. I was in Westchester County, New York, which is just north of New York City. So it's very expensive. And I was on a salary as a dietitian working at a hospital, and I had student loans, and I had credit card debt from college and beyond, and so I really didn't have a lot of money. But there was this first-time home buyer's loan out there, and you know, it was like you get an $8,000 check if you get your first mortgage and buy a piece of property. So my dad convinced me of this whole thing. I wound up finding an apartment that I didn't really love, but it was what I could afford. And so I bought this apartment and a condo essentially. And it was such a nightmare going through the mortgage process, the closing. It was like every day the mortgage company was calling me, asking me for some document that I'd already sent, and they wanted a new version and this and that. And it was so stressful and so, it was so forced. Looking back now, I realized how forced this was. And I didn't love the apartment. And when I moved into that apartment, I was so lonely. I was so miserable. It was not an aligned place for me to be. And I had forced myself in there because by owning an apartment, it made me feel like I was proving myself in some way, that I had made it. I had a successful career. And there was ego in that. And so when I finally landed in that space, guess what? It was not good. And long story short, I wound up moving out of there and I rented it for a while. It was costing me money to rent it. It was like a huge money pit. And then I tried to sell it. And this was right after the market crashed in 2008. I couldn't sell it. I couldn't do a short sale. The bank wanted me to pay them $16,000 to turn the property over to them. It was a complete nightmare. And so I wound up having to foreclose on it. And it took years for the foreclosure to go through. The apartment was literally sitting there empty. I would call the banks and say, please take this. I don't want it. Like, can we just be done with this? And it took years. And so it was a very powerful lesson for me in misaligned action, in force. And in my desire point being not from a place of service, not from a place of joy, it was from a place of trying to prove that I was worthy, that I had made it, that I had a career. Don't do that. So, and it's okay if your desire points are coming from a place of ego. That's why this process is so powerful, because it can help you to really understand where your desires are coming from. Because if we don't get clear about our desires, first of all, we can't bring them to fruition. And second of all, if we do, but they're coming from that ego place, it's going to get messy and not good. So get more clear. Use step two, get deeper clarity about what it is that you are looking for in your desires. What is the feeling that you want? So let me give you an example of an aligned action with a home. I went through a divorce separation in March of 2020, and I decided I was going to move out. And I went and looked online, and I found this beautiful home. And previous to that, I had been living in apartments, like nice apartments in older homes where it was like there was a first floor, second floor, kind of third floor in old like colonial homes in New England. And that was lovely, but I was at a point where I did not want to live above or below someone else. I was like, all right, I'm in my mid-30s, late-30s now, and I want to have a house. I really want a space that is mine. And as I was looking at apartments and what was in my price range, it was a lot of these first floor, second floor situations, and it felt terrible in my body. I was like, oh, this is not what I want. And then very shortly after, I found this beautiful house. It was the colors that I loved, lots of neutrals. It had been brand new, freshly renovated. No one had lived in it, so the energy was super clean. It had a brand new, beautiful kitchen with new appliances, which is where the kitchen is my hub. I do a lot of cooking and creating, so that's a really important space for me. So it was literally everything I had dreamed of, and I started calling it my angel house. And I sent a message to the realtor. He called me back right away that next morning. I went and saw the house, I think that day or the next day. It happened very quickly, very seamlessly. It was honestly significantly above my budget, like $600 or more above what I wanted to or thought I could afford to pay. But I just knew, every ounce of me knew that this was my house, that it had been made for me. They literally designed this house for me. And I filled out my application. I got approved. And I would drive up here in the evenings in the dark, and I would sit in the driveway. No one lived here. But I would sit in the driveway, and I would meditate, and I would pray, and I would visualize myself in this house. And I would, and I made promises that if the universe delivered this house to me, that I would work. There was an office space for me to run my business. I was like, I will work. I will do whatever you ask me to do. I am fully ready to commit to my service. And so I got this house and I moved in, and I never once had even a single issue making that increased payment. I feel so aligned. I feel so exactly where I'm supposed to be in this house. So when I came into this situation, I was really coming from a place of desiring joy and really wanting to serve and needing an office to be able to do that, to be able to do my work. And so this house has been fully, fully supportive in so many, many ways. So getting clear on your desires is not, it doesn't mean there aren't points where you stretch. It doesn't mean that you don't take risks. It doesn't mean that, but the things should show up pretty smoothly. It doesn't mean there aren't hiccups, but if the whole thing feels forced, odds are the universe is telling you, like, this is not for you. And sometimes there's some internal resistance that we have to work through. There are some fears. That's normal. But when your desires are really coming from this place of joy and service, then you will be supported, even if you have to make that financial stretch or even if you have to drive a little extra distance or whatever it is, you will be supported. So what I didn't realize that I was doing when I was driving up to this house and sitting in the driveway in my car, visualizing myself in here, and also hoping that no one thought I was like breaking in and being a trespasser, was I was practicing embodiment, which is the third step in co-creation. So just to review, the first step is getting clear on your desires. Step is getting even deeper clarity on your desires. And the third step is embodiment. So one way to practice embodiment is just to close your eyes and think about each of those desire points. What sensations do you feel in the body related to each of those goals? Do you feel a contraction, a tension, a frustration? Or do you feel warm and fuzzy and connected and excited and maybe like a little tiny bit freaked out, but mostly excited? That's clearly a good sign that that's an aligned thing for you. So this practice of embodiment is going to tap you into the body wisdom. That is a really critical component of being able to hold higher frequencies, of being able to hold more things in your field in life. And so if your body is telling you no, you're feeling forced, you're feeling contracted, then it's not a bad thing. It's the way that the universe is communicating with you, the way your higher self is communicating with you, that you need to just shift and pivot a little bit, that the universe is trying to steer you into a different direction that's actually more aligned, that perhaps you haven't even thought of yet. So dropping into the body is really key for checking into the alignment of your desires. And I did a whole radio show on this last month about embodiment, so check that out if you have not. But this process is really powerful because it gets us out of our head and it gets us back into feeling the body. And feeling the body is where the intuition comes in. It's where our guidance system comes in. The body is actually the decision maker. The body is the choice maker. The brain is not meant to be the decision and the choice maker. The brain is meant to be the observer, the witness. It's meant to collect facts and data and information. But the decision should come from the feeling in the body. So last night I was reading about human design, and the man who channeled the text and the process of human design shared this information that humans have evolved from Cro-Magnon with a five energy center system, which was really focused just on survival and instinct, then to a seven energy center system, or what we would kind of traditionally call the seven chakra system, where we became very intellectual and the mind became the ruling force. And it's how we built societies and language and technology and all those things. But then in the late 1700s, he says that we are shifting into a nine energy center system. And that is the system of human design. And that is the system where we come back into our inner authority. And so we are moving into this space and time where we no longer need external guides. We no longer need religious leaders. We no longer need gurus to tell us what is right and wrong. So we are stepping into our own power, where our guidance comes from within. Our guidance comes firsthand from our higher selves, our higher power. Embodiment is of the utmost importance as we shift from this intellectually minded society into an embodied society. And so the body is going to tell you way more than the mind could ever figure out by trying to gather thousands of data points and strategize and organize and try to predict and control. Right? That's the old school way. That's how I used to work. Now it comes down to the body giving us the wisdom, and the body will give you a yes or a no. And our job is to trust that. It's to trust our body. So this practice of embodiment is about coming back to a place of self-trust and back to a place of confidence in our own knowingness and our ability to make decisions and create our life. And that is my goal. That's what I want to teach people, is how to come back to this place of self-trust and self-confidence and this knowingness that you get to make decisions for you, not for anyone else. And in doing that, you get to take real ownership of your life and you get to create what you want. You're no longer at the mercy of the hand that you have been dealt. You get to create what it is that you want. And the inner healing work is extremely important, because if we're trying to create from a place of ego, right, great story about how that will crash and burn. But when we are creating from a place of service and joy, the sky is the freaking limit, you know. This is how people create million-dollar businesses. This is how you create a home in New York City, a home in Spain, and a home in Costa Rica, right? This is how you create networks of people that are going to change the planet, going to change human consciousness. So this is big stuff, but it starts with little tiny actions, and it starts with getting back in your body and about getting clear about what it is that you want. So when you drop into your embodiment and you start to feel into your body, if it's a warm, fuzzy, connected, expansive feeling, yes. Absolutely, yes. If there's contraction, tension, frustration, fear, inability to connect to that desire, there's two questions to ask. One is this desire misaligned? Do you need to be focusing on something else? That's possible. The other option is you may have fears, limiting beliefs, karma, Akashic record ties that are blocking you from your manifestation. So if you get to this embodiment piece and there are there's restriction in the body, this is where you need to go deeper and feel into what's popping up. And that takes us to step four, which is shadow work. So for those desires where you notice that lower vibrational response, like the contraction or a really strong limiting belief, shadow work is going to be the key to integrating the pieces of you that have been denied or shoved away or hidden that have to come back into wholeness in order for you to hold the capacity to create what you desire. So you want to get into those uncomfortable feelings. And most people want to avoid this part of the work, but this is honestly where the real power in manifesting lies. When you avoid the shadow, you lose more of yourself. You give more power to the shadow because you're bypassing your own healing. You are deflecting, you are avoiding. When we integrate those shadow aspects, when we grab that piece of us that says, you can't create a business. Nobody wants to hear what you have to talk about. Remember that time you did a presentation in third grade and everyone laughed at you and your parents were angry that you got a D? When we keep those pieces of us separate, we lose our power. When we bring that little version of us that went through that experience back home and we hug her and we love her, we integrate that piece of us that's stuck in third or fourth grade or wherever, right? Or that piece of us that had some sort of trauma. We bring that shadow aspect back into our body and we hold more power in the present moment. So owning all parts of ourselves, the sad parts, the squishy parts of our body, the lonely parts, the wounded parts, that makes us whole. And this ability to be self-honest and self-aware about those quote-unquote shadow parts that we want to pretend don't exist, that allows us to hold more of our own power, and that makes us a magnet for our desires. So shadow work is a whole topic in and of itself, and I teach a course on this. But the most important piece to take from this call is to just feel that sad part. Feel the emotion that comes up when you look at your stomach in the mirror and you don't like how it looks. Look at those wounds. Who told you that your body was unlovable or not beautiful? Where does that come from? Where does that conditioning and programming come from? Who told you you have to stay in this job that is sucking your soul and causing you to have insomnia and panic attacks? Who told you that you have to keep doing that? Where did you learn that? Who modeled that for you? These are the wounded parts of us that we really need to get up close and personal with so we can bring them back into wholeness in the body and we can start listening to the body again. So shadow work is not always comfortable, but it's extremely, extremely important. And I think another piece that's happening here as we talk about this evolution of human consciousness is that you know, a lot of you listening, probably all of you, in some way, shape, or form are a light worker, and we're being asked to shift the collective consciousness. And so as we do our own healing work, we're not just healing ourselves. We're not just healing that third grade version of us who had some traumatic experience at school. We're healing all the third graders who had a traumatic experience for decades behind us. We're healing our mothers who had traumatic experiences. We're healing our fathers, our sisters. We are making ourselves whole so we can become role models for others to become whole, so we can show others that it is safe to be whole. It is safe to be in your authenticity. It is safe to be in your truth. It is empowering. It's awesome to be in your whole self. So this is big work, this shadow work. And sometimes people feel like, why does it take so long? Why is this so hard? Shouldn't it be easier? It just takes time because you're moving a ton of energy. It's not just your life. It's not just this lifetime. You know, you're working through healing your own Akashic records. You're working through healing potentially parallel lives. There's all kinds of things that can come through as you start to dive into this shadow work. But let me tell you that it's absolutely and totally worth it. And this is the place where most people get stuck. A lot of the teaching on manifesting is like, okay, write down your list of what you want and then meditate on it and visualize it and feel what it's going to feel like to get there. And then they're missing this shadow work piece because you've got to work on the pieces that don't believe you can actually have it. You've got to work on the pieces that are stuck in the past. You've got to work on the pieces that are holding a lower frequency that is blocking you from receiving a higher frequency. And so when you can get comfortable with shadow work, when you can get comfortable with discomfort, that's when you become a real badass and a real powerful manifester, because then you start to be able to move through things that most people aren't willing to move through. And that's the difference between people who are doing their inner healing work and really creating a new life and the people who kind of get stuck. And if you're stuck, there's no shame in it. I was stuck for a long time, and sometimes I still get stuck and I have a lot of stuff to work through. I will share that in the fall, I worked through a huge shadow aspect or a piece of it around lack and scarcity. And I would literally come up into my office and I could not create. I couldn't make social media posts. I couldn't put offers out. I couldn't sell. I didn't want to coach anyone. I was just really in the thick of feeling scarcity and lack. And in my mind, right, I could rationalize my way out of it. No matter what happens, there's a family member that will take me in. There's people will loan me money, right? Like in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm working through this. But in my body was having a disproportionate fear response to my external circumstances. And it was my job to figure out why my body was having this response, because it wasn't conscious. It wasn't even subconscious. I think I was working through unconscious things that were not in any way, shape, or form in my reality, in this lifetime, in my experience. Because I had worked through a lot of that. So I was asked to go much, much, much deeper. And so I would come up here and I would try to, into my office, and I would try to use all my tools, essential oils, meditation, shamanic journeying, sound bowls, like you name it, I was pulling out all the tools. And in early December, I went on a retreat in Costa Rica with Sister Shanti. And what I learned and worked through there was healing what I would call unconscious blocks. And this is Akashic Record healing. This is healing parallel lives. And in those parallel lives that came to me and that came through the sisters who were working through this healing with me was extreme scarcity, like being a starving child, being in the sex trade where my life was not my own and I was on the verge of suicide. And so there were these parts of my soul that were connected to these other lives, whether you want to call them multiple realities or parallel lives or Akashic records or whatever it is, there were pieces of me that were attached to those circumstances. And that's what was creating this disproportionate response in my body. And I had to go that deep in order to move through those blocks. And when I left that retreat and came home, that scarcity is gone. That fear of lack is gone. And the financial situation hasn't dramatically changed, but the embodiment has changed and the frequency that I'm holding has changed. And it was through that deep, deep shadow work that I got to that space. And I feel strongly that I'm at the beginning of a massive leap forward coming for me in 2022. So you just keep going deeper and deeper and exploring and using more tools and using and trying different things until you get to the root of it. And it's a journey and it takes time and it's different for everyone. So when you feel a shadow aspect coming up, the first thing that I would encourage you to do is ask, where does this belief come from? Who modeled it or taught you that? And what experiences in your past caused you to feel that way? So if you're dealing with a lot of body shame, and you realize that your mother modeled a lot of body shame for you, or she put you on a diet when you were young, or you read lots of cosmopolitan magazines and you were programmed to believe that there's only one beauty standard. Those are the things to go into and start to work with as shadow aspects come up. And just educate yourself more on shadow work, for sure. Okay, so that is step four, going into the shadow. And there may be a little bit of shadow in some places or no shadow in some places, and there may be huge shadow aspects in other places. But we usually only have big, big shadow aspects in a couple of arenas, and the other ones we can generally move through relatively quickly. But the fifth step, after you get clear on your desires, get more clear on the emotions you're looking for, you get embodied, and you look if there are shadow aspects blocking the way, the fifth step is to surrender. Just let it all go. Fully surrender to God, Source, Universe, your higher powers will. You have to be willing to accept that God may have a greater plan or a different plan for you. And the more you can let go of an outcome, oftentimes the quicker it actually shows up in your life if it is aligned. Because when we are clinging to something out of a space of lack, we're in a lower vibrational frequency. We're in fear, we're in lack, we're in scarcity. And that lower vibrational energy is quite repellent. But when we surrender and say, I would love to have this car, but if I'm not meant to have this car, then no big deal. I'm happy enough driving the car that I have. You may find that car shows up pretty quickly. So I'll give you one example of this. I had a Lexus SUV black on my vision board that I really wanted. And it was actually something I put on a vision board where it was like, put your wildest dreams up there. If you could have any car, what would it be? And I was like, oh, I'm putting this black Lexus SUV up here. Like, this car is beautiful and it's the luxury SUV and all this good stuff. Not thinking that I would really ever have it. It was just like an exercise in being open. So I put it up there, and about maybe 4 months later, I went to visit my coach, and I went to her house with a group of women who were in a mastermind together. And we went on a little, we went out to dinner or something, and I walked out of the house and went to get in the car, and she had the exact car that I had put on my vision board, same color and everything. And I got in it, and I was like, wow, I love this car. I was like, this car brings me so much joy, and I want to live the lifestyle that my coach is living and doing the really powerful work that she's doing. And so, but, you know, I kind of let that go because I was nowhere near that point at that time. And so time went on. About a year later, I think this was January of 2021, was kind of reassessing what I wanted for the year. And I wrote down, you know, I would like to get a new car, and I would like to have $10,000 as a down payment. And the car I had needed repairs, like it probably needed $2,000-$4,000 worth of repairs, but it was paid off and it was a good car, but the stereo didn't work. And like little things were breaking one by one by one. And so I was going back and forth with, do I get a new car? Do I just put some money into this older car that's paid off? But I really wanted a new car. So as it's getting towards spring and summertime, I'm like, all right, so I wanted to have $10,000 for this car, and I'm looking at my bank account, and I'm looking at the money that's going to come in, and I'm like, there is just not an extra $10,000 here, like not even close. I'm like, so maybe this isn't going to happen. But I didn't panic, and I didn't get into lack. I just said, all right, I just accept this. But I would love to have $10,000 for a down payment on a car. A few days later, no joke, I get a call from my accountant, and the office manager says to me, all right, your taxes are filed, and you're going to get a check for $600 and something dollars. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm getting a check? And she was like, yep, you overpaid, and so this is your return, $9,600 and something dollars. And I nearly fell on the floor because I thought I was going to have to pay like $10,000 in taxes. And so this just short shy of $10,000 just shows up out of nowhere. And I was like, holy shit, how did this happen? So feeling so grateful, like just so relieved. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want more of this or something even better. So I put that money in my account, but I don't buy the car. because I'm scared. Should I be using this money to pay off credit cards? Should I be using this money for something else? So I'm just sitting on it. And then more things start to go wrong with my car. Little thing here, little thing there. I ran over the key fob, like just little things. And then one day I'm out at an event and my car won't start. And I'm like, and I didn't leave the headlights on, like nothing happened. I'm like, all right. I'm like, I get the message. It's time to get rid of this car and it's time to get the new car with the $10,000. So the universe is like, all right, we delivered you the $10,000 that you asked for and you're not doing the thing you said you were going to do with it. So now we're going to insert some chaos into your life to give you pain points so that you actually move your ass. So I literally went online. I was out. I was at a horse show. I literally went on my phone at that horse show, found a Lexus dealership, found a black one at a good price with low mileage, a used one. And I got my car got jumped. Luckily it ran. I drove to the dealership the next morning. I looked at three vehicles. I test drove the black one and I bought it that day and I drove home in it. So I got the exact car on my vision board and the universe gave me the $10,000 down payment, even though I don't know where that money came from. I honestly don't know because I didn't pay $10,000 in taxes. I got some kind of credits and random crazy things. So when you fully surrender and you are not attached to the thing that you desire, the universe is going to help deliver it. Even when you get freaked out and you think it's not real and you try to back out of it, the universe is like, no, we gave you this, you're doing it. So really, really surrender. And this can be hard to do, especially around issues of lack, because when the money is not there to pay your rent or to do a thing, it literally feels like life or death. And I've been at that, you know, when you're at the point where you have to foreclose on a property, it feels awful. It feels horrible. When I had to foreclose on that property, it was like my whole credit score is going to crash. I'm not going to be able to buy a house. This is so shameful. You know, there's all kinds of shame and ego stuff. And now I could give, I don't care at all. I don't give a crap about it. I don't care what my credit score is. I don't care about telling the story. I have no shame about it whatsoever. I have integrated that part of me that was very wounded back in 2008, 2009. So really, really surrendering to the circumstances around you. And the more you can let go of something, usually the quicker it's going to show up if it's aligned. So when you get to the surrender point, if you're having trouble surrendering a particular issue, ask yourself, what are you clinging to that may not actually be for your highest good? I was clinging to buying that apartment, even though it was not for my highest good. What are you trying to force? I forced my way into that apartment, and it was not good. And what makes you believe that there's only one path to your desires, especially those feelings that you desire? Because often there's a different path that is easier. You just can't see it yet. So if you can really let go and just trust where your body is guiding you, not your brain, your body, then you're going to get to that desire point with just more peace, more grace, more ease. And that's really what we all want out of life. That's really what we all want out of these manifestations. I wanted a new car that was safe, reliable, didn't require a lot of maintenance, had lots of fun little buttons like heated seats and a hatch that opens automatically, because those little things make me feel so joyful and so grateful on a daily basis. Now, if I had wanted to manifest that car because I wanted to fit in with my neighbors and I wanted to prove to people and I wanted people to look at me, well, then that manifestation is not going to come, or it's going to come with a lot of baggage, a lot of learning points, a lot of shadow work, right? But my desire came from wanting to be comfortable and the joy in those little things. Like, those little things bring me so much joy. And the universe is like, yeah, you deserve to have joy. Go ahead. So really surrender, and you can also use prayer to help you surrender. So whenever you feel yourself clinging too tightly to something, you know, the more we try to hold something, the more we crush it. The tighter we squeeze something, the more we crush it and squeeze the life out of it. When you want something, you have to relax your hand and open it to receive. So it's not about holding tighter or working harder. It's about softening and opening to receive. So a prayer you might use would be something like, I surrender to what is aligned for my highest good and the highest good of all those concerned. You may say something like, show me, show me, show me, tell me, tell me, tell me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Any prayer like that, that's going to help you relax and receive what it is that you need to receive, even if it's shadow work. You have to say, bring it on. I'm ready to be of service. I want to live in joy. I am willing and committed to working through whatever it takes to get to my desires, to get to living in my highest capacity, my fullest potential. So to recap the five steps, you're starting with clarity on your desires. The second thing you're doing is getting even deeper clarity about your desires by examining the underlying feeling that you're looking for. The third step is embodiment, so you can surrender to the will of your higher self. The fourth step is shadow work, looking for those pieces of you that are blocked or stuck. And the fifth step is surrender. And once you've done that, then we come back to the 3D world where we have to take aligned action. So like I said at the beginning, some people think manifesting is just sitting back and wishing for something and waiting for it to show up. And sometimes it is. The other day I hung some shelves and I put some crystals on there and I had a green tower and an orange calcite tower and they looked really nice. And I was like, I need a third tower. I don't have one that matches this set to go up there. And the next day my sister showed up with a birthday present and it was a tower. It was an intermediate size between those two and it had colors of orange and green and yellows in it. It was the perfect, it was like the like you couldn't pick out a more perfect stone to match up there. So sometimes our desires come into reality very quickly and very easy with no resistance, but I had no attachment to that. I had no expectation. And then the thing I desired just came. So sometimes things just come, but oftentimes, especially for our bigger desires, we have to take some kind of action. And aligned action feels good. Aligned action is inspired by your higher self. There's an inner knowingness, a feeling, or a pull that lets you know you're on track. And those actions feel really good. So sometimes we need to move through a little fear. That's okay. That's a good sign that we're expanding. We're at the edge of our comfort zone. But primarily, aligned actions feel good. So the mind might tell you, in order to make your physical body healthy, you have to exercise every day. You have to eat all of these particular foods. You have to take this supplement at that time and that supplement at that time and this dose. And if you mess up one thing in your day, then the whole day is ruined. And you have to do that every single day. And if you skip a day, then it's also ruined. That's what the mind is telling you. But the body is going to tell you, that's way too much action. That's exhausting. That feels like too much. That's too many supplements. You don't have to eat that strictly. So when you can gather some information and then feel into the body, how does your body respond to it? And the body responds with a yes, this supplement really changes something for me. I don't know what it is, but it just feels when I take it. When I pick up that bottle, I get a really good feeling. And I notice now my skin is looking different or my digestion is better or I feel less inflamed and less puffy. Go with the aligned actions, not all the actions, just the aligned ones. If you're creating a business, it might feel really good to make a particular kind of post on your social media page. It might feel really terrible to make that post every single day, but it feels really good to do it like 3 or 4 times a week. Then you do it 3 or 4 times a week, not every single day. So doing more through force does not give you more results. Doing less through aligned effort is what is really going to give you, that's really going to optimize your ability to create. So again, it's this aligned action comes through the feeling in the body, not through what the mind tells you you have to do. So as you go through your day, feel what is feeling really good and aligned and what is maybe not feeling so good and feeling forced or coming too much from the mind. So when you're moving into the step of aligned action, let's say you have a huge goal, like you want to have a $1 million business. Well, that can feel really overwhelming. How would you get there if you have no business at all, or your business is making $40,000 a year? How the heck would you ever get to $1 million? Well, you don't jump from A to Z. You take one step. You just go to B next. And you don't know what the rest of the alphabet looks like because you're paving a new path, but you just focus on one next step. So your first goal to creating $1 million business might be to make your first sale. It might be just to put that website up. It might be to hire a coach or a mentor. It might be if you're consistently making $3,000 a month, using some strategies to make $4,000 a month, and then it's five, and then it's 10, and then it's 20, and then it's 50, and then it's $1 million, right? So it's one step at a time. If you're trying to create, I'm loving the term soul union right now instead of a partnership or a marriage or anything like that, because it's really about an aligned partnership. So if you're desiring a soul union, your next step might be creating an online dating profile that very clearly states who you are and what you're looking for. Not hiding and not trying to write what you think someone else wants to read, but truly writing who you are, getting really honest with yourself. And in doing that, you've got to work through some shadow that says, I can't write that. I can't write that I'm a spiritual teacher. People think I'm a weirdo. I can't write that I eat a fully plant-based diet. That's going to freak people out and make them think I'm a control freak. Well, it won't freak out the right person. It will freak out the wrong person. So start freaking out the wrong people and start welcoming in the right people with your authenticity, with your embodiment, and with real clarity about creating your life. So just focus on that one next step, being fully surrendered, and just allow the universe to do her thing for you. Because, again, when your desires come from a place of joy and service, your desires will be supported 100%. It's definitely a process. The shadow work is usually the most difficult part of this. The aligned action, once you get embodied, the aligned action becomes so easy. It becomes so easy to sense whether something is right or wrong for you. It becomes so easy. I just was looking at investing in some more mentorship for myself, and there was a program that was being really like hardcore sold to me. I had two different women in my DMs on Instagram, you know, talking about this course, and one was talking and the other one was like selling it to me and telling me how I'm perfect for this experience, and congratulations, I've been accepted. And I'm like, I haven't signed up yet. What have I been accepted for? And it was like, nope. My body was like, nope. And there were moments where my brain was like, wait, but this woman's really selling it. This might really have potential. This could be really good. But my body was like, nope. So I trust my body. And then I had been eyeing this other marketing course that was like $2,500. And I don't know that it makes sense. I don't know a whole lot about the woman who's selling it. But my body was like, yes, 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 yes. Like it was singing. Like I was so excited. I was like, I can't wait to buy this. Like I can't wait to spend $2,500 on this. This is going to change the marketing of my business. This is stuff that I can implement and then that I can teach. This is of service. I can teach this to other spiritual entrepreneurs so they know how to market their gifts and they can put it out there and they can then help the people who need help. That's ultimately what this is about, right? So that felt so aligned. And so I did that and I feel good and I am stoked on it. So don't let the mind confuse you. Drop it back into the body. Follow this process. And you can always come back around and start at the beginning again at any point in time. So that is my spiel on the co-creation process. If you are interested in really mastering this process and doing it with a group of like-minded sisters, I have a co-creation mastermind that is starting on Saturday, January 22nd. It is 3 months of mastering this process so that you can bring all of your desires into your life more quickly. And so it's going to be working through each of the steps in this process that I just outlined and applying them to your particular circumstances, depending on what you would like to manifest, relationship, health, wealth, business, career, whatever it is, process applies across the board. So if you are interested, that info is on my website at rachelpellison.com, the Co-Creation Mastermind, and we're starting Saturday. So thank you so much for listening. This is so fun for me to teach on because it's so near and dear to my heart. It's the process that I have used to create a six-figure business working 3 days a week. To call in my soul union in this past year, to manifest my car, and beyond that, so many little joyous things about my life that aren't so measurable, but they're more of a feeling. So thank you so much, and I am wishing you guys all a beautiful, prosperous, and creative day.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.